Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine, hour number two. And I'm going to give you the phone number so that you can call in and make your question or talk with the doctors about whatever it is that you're dealing with your health or a family member. That number today live in the studio is 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. All right. If you, we've already had a couple of calls from longevity patients, so you know that this is an important thing for you and for your health, which is why we're still offering that free health analysis appointment. And Dr. Umat, perhaps you can talk more about what this entails, but it's a couple of tests that we get started so that we know what your life has done to you so far. Could you tell us a little bit more about the A1C test and the InBody?
It's the tip of the iceberg.
Yes. It is indeed, but at least it tells you there's an iceberg there.
That's right, an important iceberg.
That's right. The thing is that time, age, and gravity are going to take its toll on you. The question is, how much of it do you recognize and how much is it that you want to do for yourself to change the trajectory of your future? And as we've been saying all morning today, the sooner you begin, the better the outcome will be. And that is not just wishful saying, it's actually rooted in deep science. And that's what the two tests do for you. They basically give you an introduction to where are you today in terms of sugar and how much sugar is damaging your cells. And the InBody tells you about visceral fat, body fat, your BMI, your basal metabolic rate, and your muscle mass, and how much of it do you really have. And those two together give us some idea of are you still in safe areas or are you heading into dangerous territory? And then that should be the introduction to doing the big blood panel. I think the big blood panel is where your money is. And that is a $595 investment in yourself, but it is more than a $2,000 blood test value. And it also buys you 1 hour of physician time. And that's when the physician has had a chance to look at your test results and they'll go over your results, extensive set of data and lab work, and tell you what they find in that data that can then make you think about whether you want to become a longevity patient or not. And a lot of times I find that people have no idea they have markers for cancer. For example, PSA has been high in many of my patients. In young men that didn't suspect it or know that they were at risk, I found metabolic syndrome, metabolic dysfunction, prediabetes, hyperlipidemias, increased inflammation markers. So a lot of times people just have no idea where they're at. They're clueless. They come in because either a family member encourages them to come in or a family member got a new diagnosis that worries them or bothers them, or their neighbor or their friend is doing so well and they go, oh, I want to go see what this is all about. Or they hear us on the radio show. But it's not because they knew that they had a problem. They basically come in saying, tell me where I'm at. And then we basically help them figure out how to navigate the future and how to make it so that they are better tomorrow than they are today. And that's because there is enough technological advancements today that tell us that we can actually do this. We can do it through diet, through lifestyle, through supplements, to hormones, through medications. And that evidence, that body of evidence is increasing by leaps and bounds every few weeks now, because there is an interest. The people are interested. There are a lot of big institutions putting in a lot of money into the science of aging and normal aging and how to avoid disease. Remember, it's all about trying to improve the health span in your lifespan so that you enjoy life till the very last day. It's not about improving life, number of years, if there's no quality in those years. It's about improving quality in your life. And that's what we do at Longevity. We stack the odds in your favor so that you can then play the game and enjoy a healthful life, no matter how many years there are in it.
Wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Umat, for that. If you are ready and you've been hearing us talk about this for a long time, come in for that free health analysis test, meet our staff, see our beautiful facilities, and find out what we can do for you and your health. Here is the number to call to get scheduled. It's 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. We have three locations for you: Linwood, Tacoma, and our beautiful new facility in Kirkland. And if you'd also like to check us out online, you can do that too at lmclinic.com. Pick the day, the time that works best for you and the clinic that's closest for you, okay? We want to see you here. We want to see you healthy. And Dr. Mixon, in about 6 months to a year, what are we going to see?
Stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and far happier you.
That's yes. Absolutely, we will. That number again is 866-86-YOUNG to make that appointment for your free health analysis, or go to our website. You can do it there, lmclinic.com. All right, doctors, you ready for another caller? This time from Graham. We have Mary on the line. Good morning, Mary. Thank you for your patience.
Hi, Mary. I'm very happy you took my call. I'm taking care of my mother, who's 86, and having constant UTIs. Finally ended up with a infectious specialist doctor, and her diagnosis most of the time is Klebsiella pneumonia.
Mm-hmm. Or Klebsiella, yeah.
Thank you. Our Oxytocea.
Okay. And so these are bacterial infections she's having.
Yeah.
And she's had the E. coli.
Okay.
But this time it's been this, and they're giving her Rocephin IV, 1,000 milligrams for 10 days. But it's been going on this year on a constant basis.
All right. Well, big problem.
Yeah.
Question, of course, is why is she getting infections over and over and over again?
Mm-hmm.
Is this
that I can't get an answer to?
Yeah, because the question is always: is this a reinfection or is this in completely cleared infections? You know, if you got 90% of the bugs dead, but there's a few left, well, bacteria grow quickly. And so, and if you don't totally clear the infection up, you'll get what looks like a reoccurrence, and it's actually a resurgence of the same infection. Mm-hmm. The other question, of course, is, are we truly clearing it? And then she's ending up with a new infection. Mm. And if she is, why? Mm. What's going on with her? Obviously, we can't examine her on the radio show, but that's...
Could it be that there is a small problem with the incontinence?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Yes, certainly can. You know, in ladies in her age group, especially if they've had several children, it is very, very common for them to have a little bit of urinary leakage.
Yeah.
And the good Lord made the woman's bladder very close to the outside. She's got a urethra. The opening between the bladder and the outside is maybe a centimeter to a centimeter and a half long. With men, it runs the full length of the penis, And so it's a much bigger barrier to infections coming back up with women because it is very short. It is right there at the top of the vagina where it stays moist anyway. And then with multiple childbirths, you often have the uterus, what we call a descending uterus. The uterus is actually kind of falling down into the vagina, and the bladder is attached to the front wall of the uterus, and so it's getting pushed down too. And now you've got kinks and twists and a lot of mechanical encouragement of infections. And then the other thing, the poor engineering with the way women are designed is that that moist vagina is close to the rectum. So now you've got all the bacteria from the bowel. So you get contamination from the bowel to the vagina, from the vagina to this urethra, urethra to the bladder. And so women's urinary tract infections as they age become very, very common. I have said for decades that female plumbing is proof that God is male because a female deity would not have designed this system. He gives us all the advantages.
You've talked about using iodine.
Yes, I have. Iodine solutions can be quite useful for cleaning up the perineum. You can buy an iodine solution at the drugstore. It's dirt cheap. It's, $3 or $4 for a pint. You mix the iodine with water, about one part iodine to three or four parts water. So you've got a dilute iodine solution, and you use that to wash the entire perineum. You start at the front, wash the urethra where the urine comes out. Go on down, wash the opening to the vagina, right on back to the rectum. And if you wash this from front to back two or three times a day, the iodine is very effective at killing these bacteria. And the anterior to posterior wash pushes all the bacteria and contaminants away from the urethra, which helps you to not get the infections. Then if you can clear up the infection, the chances of it reoccurring go down. Does that?
Well,
you also mentioned she has some incontinence, so you might need to address the incontinence.
Yep.
And then if she's on such high doses of antibiotics, I would definitely want you to think about some probiotics for her.
Mm. Yeah, she's been on them. Yeah, she has a history of being a lupus patient. So she's not a very healthy person anyway.
Oh dear.
And trying to conquer this, I finally decided to take her to an infectious specialist doctor. Because the internal specialist was just passing us off. The pills were killing her stomach, trying to take different types of pills from, Cipro to nitrofurantoin to everything. It was just reoccurring after the initial onset of the medication. She would go several weeks, and then, bam, hit again.
Yeah. And if it's several weeks between infections, it sounds more like a reinfection.
Yeah.
Usually a resurgence of the old infection would be in a matter of days to a week once you got off the antibiotics. So
yeah, it's usually a couple weeks. She can get a spell before she gets sick again and lace her out.
Sure.
Just totally.
Yeah. Well, if you can, if you can use that iodine and water wash like I've described, you've got a more reasonable chance of at least decreasing the frequency of her infections.
Is there anything that she should do to go to gynecologist or urologist to help?
Yes, because a gynecologist and urogynecologist, those that look specifically at the connection between the bladder and the vagina, because there are some surgical procedures that might be available depending on what what her physiology is.
Yeah.
But sometimes they can actually kind of snug up the muscles around that front wall of the vagina and prevent some of the leakage. It's just, it narrows down the, or puts a little pressure around the urethra so that things don't leak out as
easily. I understand you. Yes. Because I've been on the computer a lot trying to figure this out for her on my own.
Yeah.
Trying to get into someone is almost impossible. Does your clinic have a urogynecologist?
Unfortunately, no, we do not.
Overlake does, though.
Yeah, Overlake does, and they're close to us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. That's about the only thing she's got left, then.
Okay.
Well, good luck.
Good luck. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Mary. Taking a quick break, we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine and your calls in just a moment. Stay right there. Oh, and we're back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you so much for listening today. Here is that number to get through today with your calls and your questions. 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. We are headed now to University Place in Tacoma. We have Joe on the line. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Yeah. Hi. I'm 74 years old. I've been told I have heart failure. I do know I have metabolic syndrome. I have to be very careful to keep my carbs down, exercise a lot, and all that. So I've got this cold. I literally got sick enough to where I actually went to the doctor. They told me I don't have COVID. So then I looked at this RSVP, and lots of the symptoms I've had here lately, and this cold's hung on for more than a week. Describe all of those matters, and so I've not had that RSVP shot, or I want to know, is that appropriate at this point? Could that be of any help? What do I do with myself?
Make you well.
Well, RSV, let's say what it is.
Okay, respiratory syncytial virus.
So it's a viral infection of the upper respiratory airway.
Right. And,
okay.
We usually get it as kids. Mm-hmm. And for most children, it's a little ditzel infection. Once in a while, a kid will get really sick with it. But as we age, our immunity wanes. Yeah. We start off immune to it. Say if you catch it when you're a year old, the next 30 or 40 years, you do pretty good. But by the time you're in your 70s, your immune system is not nearly as potent as it used to be. And so frequently we get now a second infection in old age. And so they've come up with a vaccine for us old timers. The problem is once you take the shot, it takes about 2 weeks to develop the antibodies to protect you. And so you can get the shot and then get sick the next day. Mm. you don't have the antibodies yet. And once you're already sick, it's too late. The virus is now giving you the antibodies, and you should be resistant to the infection for the rest of your life.
Okay.
Now that's assuming that the infection you've got
is RSV.
RSV,
exactly.
Which I don't know for sure because I'm the guy on the radio.
Right? Yeah. Well, I ran down looked at Mayo Clinic and a number of them. That described, lots of different things. And it seems like in the last week or 10 days, I've had way too many of them. The inner ear, slight earache, the this, the that, the on and on.
Mm-hmm.
This just, seems to just be doing more things than a normal cold does.
Yes. No, I understand. Basically the recommendation for the vaccine is if you are over 60 and you have diseases such as diabetes and heart failure and so on, you should get your vaccination. If you're 75, you should get your vaccination.
Okay, so, and as you said, it would, as of this point, I should develop antibiotics for it, so the shot is of no use in the future.
That's right. You should be getting your vaccine right now through the infection in your nose and throat.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for your good counsel.
All right. Take care, sir.
Thank you for the call, Joe.
The discussion we just had mentioned his nose and throat. You know, we now have a new flu vaccine.
As a nasal spray.
It's actually been available.
Nasal drops.
Well, it's been available as a nasal spray for the last 2 or 3 years, but you have to have it done by a medical practitioner.
Oh, yeah.
So a doctor, a nurse, or a pharmacist can give it to you.
Yeah.
But you have to have the prescription for it, of course.
Yeah.
So you got to go in, you get your prescription, then the doctor can give you the shot or the nasal spray rather than the shot.
Yeah.
Which is a nice idea if you're afraid of shots.
Yeah.
But here's the issue. Okay. They just approved a few weeks ago a new version of it that can be administered at home.
Yes.
But you still have to have a prescription for it.
Yeah. So you get a prescription, so you bring it home.
Precisely. So instead of going to the doctor and getting a prescription and getting your vaccine right on the spot there, you can go to the doctor, get a prescription, get the vaccine and take it home and give it to yourself.
Put the drops in your nose.
I don't see a giant improvement there.
Wow.
So now the pharmacies are coming up now with an approved algorithm so that you will be able to go to the pharmacy, tell them you want your flu nasal spray instead of the shot.
Yeah.
Up on your screen will come a questionnaire. And if you answer the questionnaire, the algorithm will then decide whether you qualify or not.
Okay.
And then they will mail it to you.
Oh, interesting.
And you can give it to yourself.
Interesting.
But that won't be available till next flu season.
Okay.
So the 25-26 flu season, because it just got approved a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Wow.
So now they've got to manufacture it and get it in the pharmacies and get everything set up. So the approval has been done. And as of next year, if you don't want to have the flu shot, you'll be able to take a nasal spray at home.
Yeah.
Now, here's the more interesting thing with this.
Okay.
It is for children that are over 2, but under 8. They need 2 doses a month apart.
Mm.
Now, I got to tell you, I'm more likely to just get my kid, my 3 or 4 or 5 year old, a single shot each year than I am to give them
2 doses
a month apart. Because then you got to take them in August, and then you take them in again in September, and you get it done.
Yeah.
The theory behind that is that in order to make the antibodies, you have to have T cells that have been sensitized to the virus.
Okay.
And small children under 2 don't have enough immune competence for the vaccine.
Mm.
2 to 8, they figure you've probably not been exposed to the virus, so they give you the first shot to sensitize the T cells and the second shot to now make those T cells make the antibody for you.
Mm.
Okay. And then between 8 and 49, you can take your vaccine 1 dose each year.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
But those of us over 50 and over don't make enough of a response to the virus in our nose.
Okay.
And so we still have to have the shot.
Okay. I guess the message here is it's easier to get the shot.
It's easier just to go get the shot.
Get the shot. Okay.
Come on. But yeah, so I mean, the federal government is jumping through all these hoops, you know, to give the pharmaceutical company a little extra thing they can sell us.
Yeah.
But it's so complex and so many conditions that you know, these people need 2 doses. These people can have the 1. The rest of you, it's not going to do any good.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my flu shot. I'm going to the pharmacy and say, shoot me.
Get it.
I mean, I think what you and I are saying is that we do believe in prevention, and the vaccines do help with that for the flu season, influenza, and those people that are at high risk. Please get it done because it could save your life.
Yes. And several thousand people a year die of the flu.
Yes, they do.
Okay? The flu kills a lot of old people and the very young people.
Yeah.
So the flu is dangerous for very small children and very old adults.
Yeah.
The rest of us get miserable, but we don't generally die.
Right, right. And shingles, too. If you're due for shingles, probably a good idea to get that done, too.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Can you just get it all done at the same time, or should you
wait?
Wouldn't
it be nice?
Yeah, you should wait. So you're visiting the pharmacy every few weeks.
So, so give me a multi-vaccine patch
that
I can just stick on my arm and wear it for a week, and now I'm immune to everything.
Everything.
That'd be great.
Okay, that's your next assignment, Dr. Mixon, to come up with something like that.
Something like that.
Wouldn't that be good?
A microneedle patch.
Yeah. Okay, well, we have a couple more callers on the line.
Okay,
so let's at least get the question from this next caller, and then we'll take our break and come back and talk about it.
Okay.
All right, DJ from Tukwila, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. How can we help?
Hello, DJ.
Good morning. I appreciate you taking a call. I've got a little more complicated request, but I'm 84 years old, and I'm going through a recurrence of a flare of ulcerative colitis, which seems to almost happen after I've had a CAT scan. And I thought, well, here we go again. And I'm in my second week of a pretty serious flare, 12 or 15 trips to the porcelain every day. Mm-hmm. And that means I've got the 20/20 version, 20 feet or 20 second, and it's there. But my question has to do with my GI doctor has recommended that I have a biologic called Entyvio.
Yes.
And I thought, well, I need a little bit of opinion about biologics in general, but this in specific one, because Entyvio, doing a little research with Wikipedia and on the internet, says that there's a success ratio of around 46% after a couple months of treatment with these injections.
Right.
But I thought, well, wait a minute, 46%. And then the list of side effects at 54%. I'm not ready to do that. And fortunately, VA will pick up most of the cost because it's like every other biologic, extremely expensive.
Yes,
it is. And I was wondering what your opinion might be on the direction.
Well, we'll chat about that when we get back. Unfortunately, we have to take a little break.
Yep.
Bottom of the hour.
Okay.
But we'll be back. You just sit tight, and we'll come back and chat about Entyvio.
Entyvio. Okay. This is Leading Edge Medicine. DJ, you stay right there. Rita, Ed, we're going to get to your questions, too. Here is that number to get through today for Leading Edge Medicine. It is 1-800-465-8770. We'll be right back.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again.
It's a great road trip song.
Oh, yes.
But I hate road trips.
Oh, boy. We're back with Leading Edge Medicine talking with DJ about Entyvio. Is that right, doctor?
Yes. Entyvio.
Monoclonal antibody.
Yeah. It's a, as he mentioned, it is a biologic, and the biologics are drugs that they are pricey and they have some risks.
Yes.
They decrease your immune system so that you cannot respond to infections as much. Now, because part of the infection with ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease is that you get increased numbers of immune cells and white blood cells that actually invade the wall of the bowel. And that's why we've got this incredible inflammatory reaction going on that is causing the pain, the diarrhea, the hypermotility, so that when he's got to go right now, which is why his reference to 20 seconds or 20 feet to the toilet. It's a problem. Because this one is especially effective at decreasing the inflammatory reaction in the bowel, it is especially good for people that have moderately severe ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease.
Right.
So this is what it's used for. But by like all the biologics, it decreases your ability to fight other infections. And so They want to make sure you don't have tuberculosis, because you can suddenly have a great flare of your tuberculosis and die. There are some viral infections of the brain, some leukopathological, where you actually lay down white blood cells in the brain that can leave you severely disabled or dead. Mm. All ordinary infections are worse when you're on these drugs. So, you know, COVID all of a sudden comes from being a nuisance with a runny nose for a healthy person like me to a life-threatening problem for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these are considerations. And I approve of the fact that he's reading the literature.
Right.
And he's trying to say, my goodness, I've got a 46% chance it's going to make me better. But about 40 to 50% of the people are also going to get side effects.
Yeah.
Now, the good news is most of the side effects are not the terrible ones we've been discussing.
Yeah.
These are not the ones that kill you.
That's right.
So these are rashes and nausea and body aches and back pain and this sort of thing. So the vast majority of that nearly 50% in side effect profile are relatively benign nuisance sort of side effects.
Yeah, especially given how this is impacting on him currently and that there is no other option for him right now.
Right. And you got to recognize 50% of the people have no side effect at all.
Yeah.
They don't have any muscle aches. They don't have any cough. They don't have any rash. They don't have any anything.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good trade-off if you're one of that half that get a good result. And all of a sudden, now your bowel's under control and you're not having all that pain and nobody's talking about taking your colon out.
Yeah.
Boy, that's pretty neat.
Yes.
You know, and if you get if you get good result from the medicine and you get mild to moderate side effects, that's okay too.
Yes.
The downside are those rare but very serious that leave you brain damaged or dead.
Yeah,
they don't happen often, but as I always remind people, if it only happens 1 in 10 million and it happens to you, it's 100% for you.
Right. So true.
So, you know, you got to, what can I tell you? You play the odds. You know, I'd go in. Remember, we're the anti-aging doctors. We are not the gastroenterologists. We're not the immunologists. We're not the rheumatologists.
Right.
We know about these drugs. We never write them. I personally have never evaluated a patient to decide whether or not I should give him this drug because it's not in my specialty. We are a specialty clinic. We treat the normal but undesired changes of aging. We help you get stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier. There's not much we can do about your ulcerative colitis. Okay? So you need to go in.
I appreciate that so much. The other question attached to that is that I have four times in the last 8 years had, because of kidney stones and other things, a CAT scan. And CAT scan in me always produces a flare of ulcerative colitis, which I've had off and on since 2008. And so my concern is, well, if my gut mucosa are damaged by too much radiation, which affects me individually, I'm not so sure. I pleaded with my doctors, no more CAT scans. And sure enough, at the ER clinic 3 weeks ago, I spent all day Sunday getting my gut evaluated, and they did another CAT scan. And sure enough, I got the ulcerative colitis flare. Now I'm dealing with that, and I thought, oh, geez, my immune system probably is not up to snuff to start with, but now I worry about the side effects you just enumerated as being part of the problem that I'm putting at a higher risk because my gut mucosa has been damaged by the CAT scans.
Yes. Yeah, and the modern CAT scans are so much better than they were when I was a resident 50 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, they were brand new, boy, fancy computerized axial tomography. But we used a lot of radiation in those days.
Yes, yeah.
Radiation in modern CAT scans is about 10% of what it used
quite a
to
bit,
be. But still, ionizing radiation damages tissue.
Right, especially if you're having that many per
year. Yes, and if you've got a problem like him where his mucosa is sick to start with,
yeah,
it doesn't tolerate even that mild irradiation.
Sadly, yes.
And so, you know, and again, your disease is outside of my field of expertise. Okay, I know something about it. I don't know enough to be competent to really treat you. One of the things I would suggest that you talk to your physician about, though, is whether or not an MRI might be able to be substituted for the CAT scan.
Mm-hmm.
MRI's
already done that, and they got overruled because they believe that CAT scans are more efficient. But I've had both an ultrasound and MRI to try and locate this rather large kidney stone, but it's always comes with a penalty, and the penalty has got me tied to the bathroom pretty much all day long.
Well, and I always question that efficiency. Cost efficiency is not medical efficiency.
Mm.
Okay, because the MRI gives us usually better tissue differentiation. We can usually see swelling, irritation, inflammation in tissues with MRIs far better than we can with CAT scans. The difference is the CAT scan costs 8, 10, 12 times more than the CAT scan. Or say the MRI.
The MRI costs more.
The MRI is far more expensive, and the insurance companies balk.
Mm.
They say, for this disease, you should use this one.
Yeah, because that's the
government, and they've got a budget.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yep.
And so the question is, to what extent can we get them to bend their budget because of medical practicality?
Yeah, and unfortunately, the federal government is aware that when you're 84, you're pretty well wasting a lot of resources for the younger people could be. No,
well, they consider it wasted resources, but I'm pushing 80, and I don't consider any dollar spent on my health to be a waste. So,
okay. You know, well,
in fact, you know, I had a conversation with my wife last night.
Okay.
Because we were talking about some of the things that I would like to do for some of my longevity patients, but I don't do because of the cost.
Okay.
And because, you know, there are things I could do for people that I would love to, but I'm treating the middle class, and they simply can't afford the big guns. One of the things I would love would be able to do a total body MRI.
Mm.
Okay. You know, they start at your head and they MRI you all the way to your feet, and they look at your amygdala in your brain, and they look at your hypothalamus, and they look at your thymus, and they look at, you know, your heart and your lungs and your gut and your colon and you know, your kidneys. And we could pick up things far earlier than we ever would otherwise.
Well, that's a $2,500 study, though.
Well, actually, that's if you're at one of the specialty places that here in Washington, it's closer to $4,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I thought there was a private company doing it for $2,500.
Well, if they are, let me know who they are, because I'll run over there. Because I told my wife the $3,500 to $4,000 price, and she said, Jerry, you're worth it. I want to keep you. Go get it done.
Yes, go get it done, Jerry.
But, you know, I'm not talking to the VA.
Yeah.
I'm talking to a woman who loves me. So she wants a total body MRI. If I were a VA patient, they would laugh me right out of the clinic.
Yeah.
So what can I tell you? But, yeah, there are things in this world that we would love to do for people that would actually provide us with better health care, but we're just cost constrained.
Mm-hmm.
And people talk, well, why don't we then just get socialized medicine and then everything's free? And I'm telling them, no, it's not free.
No.
When the government is paying for it, they've got a budget. Mm-hmm. And if you don't fit in their budget, you don't get it.
Yeah.
Boy, that's so true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you've been a big help. I appreciate your counsel. It is always good to talk with you. You guys have provided my medical education for the last 20 years, so thanks so much.
Thank you for the call.
Good luck to you. I hope you get better soon.
Thank you for that call, DJ. All right, taking another call. We are headed over to, let's see, where is Rita calling from? Maple Valley. Ooh. Hi there, Rita. Welcome.
Hello,
Rita.
So My question is even though you're an anti-aging clinic, how early can you come into the clinic, especially if you're overweight?
Earlier is always better. We will not turn you away at any age. Our logo does not say anti-aging. It says longevity. We're out to help you live a long, happy, productive life. Yeah. And the earlier we start, the better we can do for you.
Well, you know, I've got a situation where there's a few people in their 30s that are, I don't know when you become obese, but are definitely overweight.
Yes.
And they don't seem to be interested in, you know, the weight loss advertised kind of clinics. And I was wondering if, you know, going to longevity, them seeing the big picture of their health, especially since you always talk about the effects of being overweight.
Yes.
If that would help their mentality. I mean, and these are people who, I want to say exercise, but they just have terrible eating habits.
Yeah. Well, you can be strong and fat. You know, you're not fit and fat. You're strong and fat. You can put a lot of muscle under the fat, but that doesn't do away with the damage that's being produced by the fat. I mean, you know, we are socialized to think of fat as a cosmetic issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why when you go to the drugstore, you go to the food store, right at the checkout counter, there's all these signs of these beautiful, you know, muscular young men and these slender, fit young women. And they, you know, they're selling you cars and watches and houses and hairspray and all sorts of stuff, with the implied that, you know, if you buy this product, you'll look like this person. You know, or 2 weeks to your beach body. You know, if you're 100 pounds overweight, you're not getting a beach body in 2 weeks.
So more like 2 years. Somebody in their 30s came to you, you would do the same process.
We do the same workup. Our question is, what are the risks? What is putting them at risk down the road? And how can we change the trajectory and keep them healthy? Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I know you at one time said that you have put some of your, I want to say your assistants or people in the clinic on a drug now that helps them with weight loss. So
they can do that program if they wanted to do that without being longevity patients.
Yeah, you know, we, but I'd rather prevent the breast cancer in the women.
There's no doubt in my mind about that. But sometimes some people need like a toe in.
Okay. Put the toe in, But you know,
do you have anybody in their 30s coming to the clinic?
Oh, yes. Not a lot, but yes, we get some people that are quite proactive. We get people in their 30s who say, you know, we got the message. Yeah. We want to stay healthy. I started my wife on the program when she was 30 years old.
Okay.
You know, when I met her, I was 57 and she was 28. when we got married, she saw what I did for a living and she said, I want that.
Yeah.
Well, that's when we started her, and she's now pushing 50 herself because I'm in my late 70s. And you'd swear she was in her 30s still.
Yes.
I mean, because we've never let her age. We have kept her hormone balances and her weight and everything about her at peak 25 to 30-year-old range. And you take one look at her, and it's obvious. So I wish I could do this for everybody. I'd love everybody in America to look like my wife looks. Well, the women. The men shouldn't look like my wife.
And I thought you were going to say you want everybody in America to be our patient.
Yes. Yeah.
I want them to get the benefits. You know, if they can come to us, great.
Yeah.
But I want them to go somewhere. I want somebody to help Americans to be lean and strong and fit and beautiful and healthy, men and women both.
That's right.
And, you know, we happen to offer the service. In fact, we're about the only ones in Washington that has this comprehensive program. We have a lot of people in Washington do a little piece of this, a little piece of that.
Yeah.
But we are the 1,000-pound gorilla in this state.
Well, one of the things I'm also concerned about is when they do their, annual physicals, that the physicians they're seeing aren't really addressing this problem.
Well, they don't know about it. It's not their specialty.
Well, being overweight, you know, I mean, I guess I'm upset with the medical community in general and am looking for alternatives. So okay. I'm actually a longevity patient. So
well, let me give you a thought experiment, though. Think about the last time you walked through the hospital. How many of the nurses weighed 300 pounds? Mm-hmm. Oh, how many of the doctors had big bellies hanging over their belts?
Okay. That is for sure. My husband and I talk about it all the time. We if we see a group of overweight women, we say they're probably nurses.
Yeah. I mean, I go to medical meetings, you know, where there's 1,000 doctors in the place, and I walk through the hall looking at my colleagues thinking, who the hell is going to take health advice from you? Mm. You know, the guy is lumbering through the thing with his great big belly and thunder thighs with a depressed face. And he looks like he's so miserable that he can't stand to live another day. And he's giving health advice? Mm. What on earth is going on? Mm-hmm. So we as a society and our doctors and our nurses and our insurance agents and everybody else, we have the fattest industrialized society on earth. And as a consequence, our lifespan is declining because fat is killing America. And when I hire, I'm hiring from the pool of American workers. So I end up hiring overweight people too, because there just aren't any skinny ones to hire. Mm-hmm. And so when they come to work for us, we put them on the semaglutide, the drugs to lose weight, and as part of their employment benefit to be my employee, we put you on the weight loss medication as part of your salary to thin you out. It's a serious problem.
Okay, so another thing, one more question is, so if you're in your 30s, you're overweight, and you lose 100 pounds or whatever you need to lose, doesn't necessarily make you healthy.
No, but it's a great start. You're decreasing the biggest source of inflammation in your brain, your heart, your lungs, your bones. So the weight loss is a critical component. It may not be enough, but it's a great start.
Okay. Well, maybe she'll get this for Christmas.
All right. Okay, thank you for the call. It gave me an opportunity to rant a bit.
There you go.
Always need a good rant on a Saturday morning.
Oh, thank you, Rita, for that. All right, one last call for today on Leading Edge Medicine. We're headed to Graham. We have Ed on the line. Hi, Ed, welcome.
Hello, Ed.
Yes, thank you. I came down with some swelling in my lower legs, especially my right leg with redness and so on. Diagnostics as of last Friday, zero on the blood clots and excellent blood flow to the extremities. So I was kind of frustrated, you know, what in the heck am I doing this? And my RN sister over in Michigan, I was telling her about it, and she said, you better check on lymph edema. Is that a possibility?
It's a possibility, but why would you have obstructive of your lymphatic flow?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to find out.
And that's what, you know, that's what the investigation would be all about. You've got a couple of reasons for one leg to swell and not the other. Is that correct? I mean, I got from your description, it sounded like it was just the one leg.
No, the right leg swelled up more than the left leg. And the left leg now is almost back to normal, but I still have some swelling in the right leg.
Okay. You know, when we're getting dependent edema in both legs, different situation.
Yeah, congestive heart failure most likely.
That's what we start to think about.
Or vascular, but he's had the Dopplers, which don't show a blood clot. Sometimes is, the vascular valves don't work, and so they get backflow. Mm-hmm. But it's always bilateral. Usually it's not unilateral.
Precisely. So have you had chest pain, shortness of breath, limit to your exercise or anything?
Yes, no, not really.
Okay. Because, you know, one of the things I worry about when I get something like this that happens and it is transient and clears is sometimes you get things like viral myocarditis, in which you actually get a viral infection of the heart. And so you get a short-term, a temporary dysfunction. So you're actually developing some congestive failure, but it's not the sort of congestive failure that lasts forever and ever. Clear with the virus or a pericarditis, restrictive pericarditis, something like that. But with no shortness of breath, with no chest pain, that becomes less likely.
Other than that, everything else was normal. I was really kind of ignoring it. At first, I thought, no, this is not right. I got to get looked at. So
when you saw the doctor, did he do a actual physical exam in which he put his hands on your naked body, feeling for lymph nodes in your inguinal canal, feeling for, to actually see if you had lymphatic enlargement in those nodes?
No, at that point in time, it was more the lower extremities that they were examining, and the diagnostics, I think, started at the toes, went all the way up to the groin, checking for blood flow at that point in time. So I don't know if they looked at the lymph nodes there or not.
All right. Because you've got a dual circulation down there. The arteries pump the blood down through this high-pressure arterial system. And then it spreads out through the capillaries, these little tiny vessels that are so skinny that one blood cell at a time is flowing through. They're kind of going through in single file. And the walls are so thin that that's where the exchange of oxygen for carbon dioxide and nutrients actually takes place, through the walls of the capillaries. And then as it comes out of those capillary beds, much of it goes into the venous tree. And now you've got the small veins, and they feed into the larger veins, which feed into the bigger and bigger and bigger veins. And that's where we're worried about the phlebitis, the infection of the veins. But some of that fluid, because those walls and the capillaries are so thin, you sometimes just get fluid that comes through those walls too. And so now you got fluid that came out of your vascular system into the interstitial space, as we call it. And that fluid can build up. And the lymphatic system is designed to drain that fluid. It's a very, very low pressure drainage system. And the lymph then flows back up towards your heart, gets dumped into the inferior vena cava, and rejoins the blood supply, the circulation. Anything that obstructs that lymphatic flow along the way can cause swelling and edema. And one of the most common places is in the groin, in the inguinal canal, right? Area just anterior to your hips, that run down to your testicles. That canal, there's a series of big lymph nodes there. And so one of the places that I think should be examined, physically examined, is to say, hey, do we have enlargement of the nodes here? Because that can tell us that there's some obstruction.
Okay. Yes, I'm not sure that was ever looked at. So that would be the next step.
Yep. Yeah, somebody needs to take a look at your lymphatic drainage, okay? And they can do it with fancy stuff, but when I was an old-fashioned country doctor, I always started with my fingertips. So
there you go. Ed, I hate to cut you off, but we've got just a few seconds left of this show. Thank you for your call. All right. We are back in the studio live again next week. Wow, it went fast. This is Leading Edge Medicine. You can always contact us by calling 1-866-86-YOUNG to sign up for that health analysis or to get your friends and family signed up. Yes. Or go to our website and find out more about us at lmclinic.com. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you next time on Leading Edge Medicine.